Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Thanks for joining us here on Faith in Your Recovery. We're thrilled to have you with us. We look forward to this episode. It's something pretty special for me. Me and the guy you're going to meet in just a minute, Eric Thor Hartvig, go back quite a ways, actually to his high school days. Will not tell you how long ago that was, okay? But I will remind you, I'm 74 and he's not. Eric was a wrestler at Jay County High School. We connected through that. The wife and I have two sons that graduated about the same time. So there were those types of connections. We maintained a good adult connection, have a word of respect for each other, and I look forward to you folks getting to hear his story. He's fought his battles. He's at a good place now. We all understand today's one thing, tomorrow's another. You got to stay in that battle, as we always conclude our program with. So welcome to this episode, about number 175, Eric Thor Hartvig. Glad to have you aboard, buddy.
Dude, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, man, and it's awesome, you know?
What excites you about it?
Well, maybe it's the, you know, even just hearing, you know, through the headphones before we started, it's like, welcome to the battle, you know? And it's like, if I'm Eric Thor Hartvig, you know, I've got some Viking in me, and I wanna fight evil, and I always have with my and friend and business partner Eric Maitland, whom you know as well. You know, we've bounded into what we call the battle, you know, and I'm kind of following this little guy, you know, like he's not quite a Thor type, but he is a fighter like no other. You know, I tell him, you know, like he's self-deprecating sometimes, where he will always lean on the fact that he's short or something. And
I'm sure it's what it's to his advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I want to drag him along to everything. We've got this idea. We're going to hop on our Harley Davidsons and cover addiction everywhere we can find it. And, you know, he posted recently on his birthday, you know, about how short he was or something. He made kind of a joke. And I was just like, dude, your heart is bigger than Shaquille O'Neal. You know, so he's, I believe he's even been on the podcast. I'm not sure.
He has.
Yeah, I talked to him about it. And we're hoping to jump right into things with you. And I'm jumping into it this week, actually, Friday, headed to Jay County to head into the jail and just talk to some people that are incarcerated and afflicted by addiction and help them with the battle,
Eric,
however I can.
Go ahead and tell the folks what you're talking about. Be more specific what we have planned over the next 9-12 months.
Okay. Well, you know, and I really, you know, am taking a leap of faith, which, you know, partly, you know, you helped guide me into accepting those moments where it's like, you know, why not take a chance? You know, why not be the guy that's, you know, the director instead of the editor, or the guy in charge making the decisions? Because I've spent 20 years working for an entity known as a public media entity, PBS. And I've been in that world, but I've never truly got to do what I want. And I've never truly been in charge, I guess. Or I've been at the mercy of someone else's money, and it's almost always the man. You know, it's almost always the man somehow. So I've learned over the past 20 years how to be a one-stop shop for creating a film. And I've helped a lot of people create the films they want to make, and I've had a lot of success in that. And I thought it was time to do one myself. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know who's going to be interested, but I do feel God pulling me towards it. And I'm not going to deny it anymore. In fact, I just recently got the confidence to openly tell people that I'm a Christian. And I'm almost, I guess, disappointed in that. And I'm not afraid anymore. You know, like I'm facing a lot of stuff. So the plan is, and I'm not going to make this like some kind of church movie. You obviously know, You know, like, I'm rough around the edges. And everybody knows. I mean, you ask the people I went to India with on my last film project, which I got fired from, by the way. And this did involve Eric.
I mean, that yet.
Yeah, they. I'll tell you the story, but it circled back to where they, like, we should have listened to Thor. You know, because I was being a little bit what you would call competitive communication style, or maybe like overly assertive, because I felt like God was leading me to do this and I wasn't going to take no for an answer. And this is what God wasn't leading me to be an asshole. Like, I'm not trying to say words on this that I'm not supposed to, but I was acting like a jerk. Okay. And I needed to be put in my place, but so did they. And we all worked it out, man. There's a Major League Baseball player I'm now sitting in, you know, with sometimes. And it's just kind of amazing that, like, I can hit on ESPN.com and see this guy. His name's Justin Masterson. He was a pitcher for the formerly known as Cleveland Indians. That's a big deal. You know, I'm not a big baseball fan, but he was, you know, a big deal. And now I'm sitting in a little room with him making a film that has nothing to do with my day job. So, you know, I'm just blown away by the things God has led me into and just put me into, whether I knew it or not at the time. I'm just now starting to kind of like be open to that. You saw the beginning of it. I mean, I hadn't even been a Christian very long when we first started talking in the real sense of my own recovery of against addiction. So what I plan to do, I know this is a long answer, but I plan to make a docuseries. And my first season, if you will, is going in the series, you know, and I'm just going to put this out there. This is a title that I haven't been convinced not to use yet. The title is going to be Truth Behind Hope. The Truth Behind Hope. And I know that that pulls, you know, a little bit of influence. You know, it did come to me. I will always admit that it was inspired by the group that helped me, Brianna's Hope. But I will say this, you know, I don't know how many episodes are going to be about Brianna and Brianna's Hope, but I plan to do this continuously. If you would look at it as The Truth Behind Hope, Season 1, Brianna. You know, that's what I plan to do. And we're kicking it off on Friday. And I brought a camera today, actually, to try and kick it off. But I was running a little late and didn't really get to do any of that, like, pre-production. But you know what? I think it would be better to do that sometime when you're talking to somebody else. And I can just focus on my gig here of doing the camera work. And it's all a labor of love.
Go ahead and tell them in a little more detail what this Friday's about. If you need me to fill it in, I've got a little more experience with it. I'll help you out.
You know what? There's a lot of things that I would love to bring up about what's happening this Friday. And I made sure to sorry about that pee pop. I am planning to go in with you, and I've gotten the permission of the sheriff. Bless his heart. You know, I can't wait to meet him. I've even, you know, recently I called way too late in the game because I had the mayor of Carmel cancel on me for a show that I produce politically in Indianapolis. And I actually called the mayor of Portland just being like, hey, I went to Jay County. We're looking for a local perspective, and it just wasn't going to fit in his schedule either. So I actually look forward to meeting him as well. But, you know, the birthplace of Brianna's Hope was right there. Jay County. So we're going into the jail to talk to people that, you know, are struggling, but they're being met with. We're doing some haircuts, I believe, and there's going to be some, like,
we'll have two barbers along. Yeah. We'll have a couple, three Christian hip-hop artists.
Yeah, we're going to do some rapping. We're going to do some free cuts, and we're going to get you looking good in your jail. And we're going to wish that you, you know, while you're there, just take the time to get to know yourself. You know, and if God becomes a part of your life, we're there for you. Like, I'm an example of someone who spent, you know, more than half of my life denying, even though he was right there with me the whole time. I mean, I went to Taylor University, for God's sakes, which it's almost a sin for me to be in Anderson right now, this close to the Ravens, you know, Anderson. But, like, I just take solace in the fact that, you know, I played them five times, sort of. Like, I redshirted in football college. You know, I played at Taylor U, and we beat them, you know, I watched my buddies beat them my freshman year, and then we beat them second freshman year, whatever you call it, my sophomore, junior, senior. And you know what? Those guys are good guys, you know, and I respect Anderson, and I respect them, and I respect the game. But, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm here, and I'm just trying to get it out there, and I just love the Christian community. We got a lot of problems ourselves, and the people who can't admit that are the problem, I think. And I just want to meet some people that are mixed up in some of this mess that we call the Battle of Recovery. And I'll tell you who else is part of that. And I got his permission to talk about it. And that's my brother, Adam. And, he was happy to admit finally that, you know, he needs to address some things. And it took getting sober, mind you, sober by force. You know, he was arrested multiple times, actually. And, you know, like, bless my mother and father's hearts. You know, like, they are always there for us. And they've had to bail both of us out plenty of times of jail. You know, like, there's been things that have happened in my life that, you know, like with alcohol and things, you know, in college, you know, I was, and I can go there if you want, but basically I'll just say this. It's not always, you know, like, oh man, you know, like you need some help with your heroin use or your opioid problem. You know, like there's plenty of people that have struggles with alcohol, and I'll tell you, it's probably one of the worst. You know, alcohol is probably one of the worst psycho mess with your brain type drugs out there besides LSD, and it's completely legal.
That's the thing, the availability mm-hmm. of it as well.
Yep.
The societal feelings about it are yes, much sir. Different. It didn't carry the stigma and bias right. that most of the drugs you just mentioned right. carry.
I mean,
we're getting ready to go to a school over in Ohio, Union City, Ohio.
Yeah, baby.
Called Mississinewa Valley and speak there in a couple of weeks. We've been invited by their group called SAD, Students Against Drunk Driving.
Well, that sounds like a good group.
We'll talk about the alcohol with it, the drugs as well. But the statistics and all that go with it, alcohol continues to be the number one drug. There are those groups who will separate it. We talk about it very much as one with a better life, Brianna's Hope, that the alcohol and drugs are synonymous. They're interchangeable, and the pain and the struggle that they all cause. Go ahead, Eric. Tell us about your brother a little more within those limits.
Yeah, and we're still, you know, I'm going at it gingerly right now, but you know, I think it's fair to say that, you know, there's a lot of people in Jay County that know of his struggle a bit because it made front page news. And, you know, if you're in Jay County listening or, you know, like I asked Adam because he's in rehab up at Avenues in Fort Wayne. And
place to be.
Absolutely, because you guess who sometimes leads group up there?
Our old buddy Lee.
Lee Funkhauser. And that guy has been in my life since day one, just, you know, like of covering Brianna's Hope. And what's funny is obviously I knew you, and I got to give a shout out to Coach Campbell because Craig is another Maitland-sized guy, but I guarantee you he could kick my ass. But anyway, or at least used to be able to. And it's one of those things where if he hadn't reached out, because I was, you know, I was in Anderson, actually. I was doing, you know, things in St. Louis. I was going to Ohio. I was covering addiction nationally for PBS NewsHour. And he reached out to me through Facebook, and he's like, Thor, if you're covering addiction, you need to talk to Randy Davis. And I was like, okay. So I reached out to Randy and I heard the whole thing. And I must admit, I somehow didn't know about Brianna. I was one of those guys that somehow missed the news because I'd moved on from Jay County and I was doing my thing in Indianapolis and I was a new dad and married at the time and doing all those things. So, but yeah, my brother struggled with, you know, and I'll let him tell his own story on the what's, but like it was alcohol at this time that really caused the problem because he, you know, got a little bit way over the, you know, normal amounts.
Crossed that line.
Yeah. And he got into a truck when he shouldn't have. And I'm very thankful that no one was hurt, even him. And he crashed into the TJ's bicycle shop. And everybody may or may not know that shop there. You know, it's not the greatest building in the world. And it's like, you know, we're all praying and hoping that we can, you know, get through this. And he'd had some other trouble, you know, like, so this was like kind of like a strike three situation where he'd done a couple of other little things, but it just doesn't look good when you're already in the truck. You know, he hadn't had some stuff even decided upon yet before he did this, you know. And so it's like within the matter of just a few months, he was incarcerated or arrested I believe, twice in two different counties, but also did an infraction that you know, like that allowed him to kind of get on probation from the first thing. The Jay County thing hasn't been settled yet. So we're in the midst of like rehab situations, because when he got arrested for the thing in Jay County, he went into true withdrawal for the first time, because the other thing, you know, like didn't matter. Like he just kind of got bailed out and it's no big deal, but he got put on probation. You know what I mean? So when he failed to meet probation requirements, they took him to jail. And that's where it's like, you're done now, buddy. Like he had already been like, and I tried to tell him, and it's like, I don't know if you've been in, you know, like in that situation where you're working with an active addict as opposed to someone who's really trying to do something about it. He was still in the denial phase. He was still in the phase where it's like, ah, you know, this is why it happened. This is why it happened. It's not my fault. It's not, you know, and I've been there too. Like I was an excuse giver. I was a, I don't want to own up to it guy. And he's finally starting to say the right things. And as you know, working with addicts, a lot of times you will hear what you want to hear. And it's not true. They're telling you a lie. I believe this for the first time. I truly do. You know, like I think he's finally realizing what he was doing to me, what he was doing to my parents. And now, and he's in the right place. And by God, if he's not talking to Lee Funkhauser sometimes too. And I trust that guy a lot because I've seen him go from
worthy of it.
Yeah.
Worthy.
Yeah. And Monica Grayson, I just want to give a shout out to her as well as a big inspiration to me. And also a friend, and also someone that I admire, and someone that I, you know, would call a great success story. Because, you know, like...
These are our poster children.
Right.
Pardon that phrase from years
right?
ago.
Yeah.
These are the examples and where we hope people can get.
Yeah.
And not only have they gotten to where they are, they're reaching back and sharing it with others.
Yes, sir.
To help them become the person God created them to be.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Awesome.
And I agree with you on that, poster child. And I'll just say, you know, before we move on to something else, maybe, but I just want to say that I hope Adam becomes a poster child too. And I hope
he can.
You know, and I know he can. And what's funny about where I'm headed with you Friday might be where Adam's headed as well. You know, and I may be checking out his hotel, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, don't worry about it, dude. Just stop trying to give excuses and start telling those folks, you know what you did now. You're starting to see the truth. Like, they don't want to hear excuses. They want to hear that you're going to, you realize that you messed up. Because we all make mistakes. And guess what? Guess what? That leads me into some bullet point that I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
share
I just
that
wanted
with
to
us.
Point out a bullet point.
Hey,
let
me make a comment here before you do.
What do you think you are, the host of this thing?
I'm trying to be.
I work in television.
It's not hard.
Oh, okay.
It's difficult with you, Eric. This isn't your first rodeo by any means. So we welcome that fact. But the idea that as we look at all of this together, with the chances and the hopes that are provided today, the opportunities there. Go ahead. Hit me with that bullet point.
You know, the bullet point, I just, you know, as I was, you know, riding over here with my mother, Carolyn Hartvig, bless your heart out there, shopping around in Anderson, looking at the thrift shop that's right next door, and then who knows where she's at. She's probably getting deals you wouldn't believe right now. But I just made a few notes, and there was a bullet point of learned from Randy. And I actually pulled this bite because you randomly said it. In the very first shoot I did at the location of Brianna's Hope, Red Key,
yeah.
Indiana, and you said, a mistake does not define who you are.
Amen.
And that hit me hard. You know, like I could almost get emotional in some ways because my brother thinks that a mistake does define who he is. And he's so worried about it that he's isolated. He has been in that, you know, that phase of, you know, where you isolate and he's made a lot of mistakes and it just caused him to want to isolate and it just caused him to drink more and do other things even. And so that's a big thing that I just pointed out because like that meant something to me when you said it, when I was just editing the piece that was on PBS NewsHour, by the way. And also it still meant something to me when I came to you for recovery help. And it still means something to me because it's something that I tell other people to realize, like my brother, that, like, no matter what happens, dude, like, if you wind up in Jay County Jail, I'll see you on Fridays, apparently, when you need a haircut every once in a while. And you know what? Like, get in there and do something good with where you're at. God can reach into there. You can read the Bible. You might even be able to lift some weights and, you know, whatever you need to do, stay focused on the fact that you aren't who the mistakes you made. And let's go, baby. Let's battle.
We'll help him see that.
Yes, sir.
If that was the case in our lives, few of us would stand a chance, right?
But who hasn't made one, you know?
Yeah, and when we come to recognize we don't make mistakes intentionally, we've got a chance to move forward. Accept the blemish, the scar, the bruise. You can heal from it. You can recover and rise above it, and that's what it's about. Eric, tell us how you've been able to climb out of your dark spot in life. You mentioned the alcohol and much of what that has created, the challenges that has brought. Tell us a little more of your victory side of that story.
Okay. Well, you know, and I can talk, I mean, to lead to the victory, I have to talk about the failure. And it's okay to fail, you know, and I did. You know, like, I was used to winning, like, sort of. I mean, I did play football at Jay County, so I was used to losing a lot, too. But then, you know, like, I went to Taylor, and we were nationally ranked. And then we phased back into a team that was more like my high school experience. So I've been around the block on losing and winning. But I'll tell you where I did fail. I put myself first. I felt like I was the center of the universe in a way. Like, I was still, like, trying to help people, but a lot of it was almost in a selfish way of like, aren't I such a good person because I'm helping people, right? And, you know, the whole time I'm drinking booze, I'm bonging beers, I'm a college guy, I'm going to Taylor, they don't know I'm drinking, they don't even want you to
drink.
For
those folks who may not know what Taylor is about, it's a Christian college located in Upland, Indiana.
Yeah, and it's where I live. I live across from it now. And it is hilarious to me that, like, I was drawn to Christians and Maitland and Klatt and all these guys in Jay County doing great things, professing Christ. And I was always like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's good. You know, like, seems like a nice guy. But did I ever take the time to figure, you know, investigate it? No. But I did take the time to deny it because it didn't allow me to do whatever the hell I wanted. So I went on about my path of selfishness in use of alcohol, marijuana, you know, pills and things occasionally. I mean, I did my stint with, like, taking Vicodin. But the thing is, I was prescribed those because I was a college football player, and I'm old enough to where it was like, hey, man, you got knee pain? Well, there's some Vicodin. How's 120 of them sound? And it wasn't until I took those into the world of, like, my buddies and people in college and other partiers in the area and in college and I found out pretty quickly that that wasn't just some kind of pill like Tylenol. That was something people were willing to pay me money for, trade me weed for, do whatever. So I've had my battle with opioids, too. I luckily didn't really get into it because I did kind of figure out that I've got control over use of substances. You know, like, I can – if I got prescribed a pill like that for pain, I know that I could take one. I never even had a problem while I was taking them. I did overtake them a few times, and I did experience, like, a buzz. You know, I knew what it did, and I did like it. You know, like, it was euphoric, if you will. So my battle was carried on that in such a way that, like, you know, I had enough knee pain. I mean, you take an x-ray of my right knee right now, Randy, and you'll see a crack right down the middle, you know, and it almost looks like a peace sign on my kneecap. And that's something that they may need to remove a piece of sometime, but I actually had them open it up and they tried to pry a chunk of it out. And the doctor was basically like, hey, it's in there pretty good. We're going to sew you back up. I'm like, well, thanks for giving me a scar. But anyway, that led to, like, you know, okay, well, I've just kind of maintained that lifestyle because I cared enough about my image and I cared enough about things, you know, like, I did get a DUI in college. And it's a funny story because, like, I was, you know, drinking in the dorm room secretly, you know, like, tell anyone, and the topic of cow tipping came up, and I'm just like, you know what, man, that's just it's just like snipe hunting. It's just a fake thing. Like, you try and push over a cow, dude, it's like pushing over a barn. You know, it's something they tell city kids, you know, to laugh at them. And he's like, no, it's true. Like, this guy I was with, and I'll save him the disgrace of his name, but he was a guy I played football with in college. I'll at least give you that. And it was just hilarious to me, but we were drinking whiskey, you know, and I drank, you know, half a bottle of whiskey, and we drove out. I parked, I had a Maglite flashlight, and I watched this guy running around chasing cows, laughing my ass off, you know, and seeing him try to do, and he had this theory of like how to do it and all this stuff. I'm like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I hope one's asleep. I just want to let you know though, you know, if a cow is asleep, they do it kind of like us. Like they just lay on the ground and sleep. They don't stand there asleep. And he's like, no, I know this is, you know, he couldn't convince him. So I was so adamant. Like we went out to this farmer's field and like, if I didn't, you know, if I hadn't done that, it probably wouldn't even put me on a path of anything. But I just have to look back on that as kind of a funny story now because the farmer didn't appreciate it. And then when he told me to back up, I wasn't in the best shape, you know, like, so like I kind of like scratched up against his truck and I was like, ah, shoot, you know, and it's like, it's over, you know, cop came, you know, and I was trying to, you know, I even had some deals made and I didn't want to leave this guy alone. Like I was like, well, you know, can't we just deal with this tomorrow? It's late. 'Cause I'm doing this at like 1 or 2 in the morning. So we both got taken to jail and, it was just for public intox, him, DUI me. And I went through that process and in Grant County, you actually, you know, at the time you could make a deal and say, you know, can we call this reckless driving instead of a DUI? And so it got the charge to be dropped after 5 years. And by God, if I didn't just keep doing what I, you know, I was in trouble. I went, you know, I didn't drink while I was on probation. I didn't, you know, I went 5 years with nothing, you know, and doggone it, if, you know, I didn't just kind of get into a place of like, eventually into a place of like, I'm doing great things and I'm really proud of myself all the time. And I didn't give my wife, now ex-wife, and my family probably the proper attention and love that I wish I could give them now, I guess, or wish I could have given then, because like I've obviously moved on and I've accepted that that's over and I need a new contract with someone and God and everything. But, you know, I lost my entire family over, you know, just basically getting drunk, getting high and getting mad. You know, and getting mad about things that happened in the past. And it was kind of happening. Like, things were happening currently, too, that, you know, like, aren't good. But, like, I was so, you know, it's almost like I almost own up to the fact that, like, I can see how some of those things were inspired by the fact that I couldn't let go of the past. And there was no hope for it. You know, like, we were hopeless. And I just, you know, it wound up getting to the point where I blew it so big that I got arrested again, you know, and it's just like, I don't know what to say other than I had to shape up and change my life. And I, for some reason, had been going to church because I had kids, you know, and it was just like, my mom and dad took me to church or wanted me to go to church, more so my mom than my dad, you know. Dad's one of those, you know, I already know better than God type sometimes, and I just have to remind him, no, you don't, but I love you, man. And it's one of those things, too, that I feel like so many people, even that don't believe that, because I have to admit, like, I did not believe in Jesus. Like, I liked the Christian thing. And so it was like I almost wanted to get my kids kind of involved because I did even campus life in high school.
You knew it was the right thing to do, yeah, even if you weren't invested in it.
That's right.
It was good actions.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
So what was it that turned your thinking around toward Christ, Thor? What was it that got you moving in a true Christian attitude and behavior?
Well, I believe it was the Holy Spirit, and I believe it was Jesus, and I believe, you know, if I were to attribute some of this to humans, I would have to cite so many people that were Christians already that I wanted to be like. A guy named Chad Luthi, football players I still talk to, guys older than me, Anwar Smith, a guy named, we called Crazy. But I guess because I was, like, in a situation where my wife was leaving me, and even my mother-in-law was a solid influence in my Christianness, but, like, I'd been attending a Methodist church in Upland, Indiana, sort of, and I had a pastor named Rob Neal. He is now in Columbia City up north, And, you know, that was a pastor. You were a Methodist pastor, so you know how you can get in and be pulled from one place and possibly put to work somewhere else. So that happened to him. But before it happened to him, and right around the time we knew it was happening to him, I decided to call just to reach out for help from Chad Luthy, who attended that church. And he's also a Taylor Trojan football player, but also still in the community, Eastbrook guy, married a girl from Taylor, and she's the head volleyball coach now at Taylor. I go into the church, and I don't know why. Rob Neal's his name. And even while I was not a Christian and still attending church, I still had that, like, I want to help people attitude. And I used to call it getting robbed. Like, if I was going, his name's Rob, and if he calls you and asks you to help, I'm like, I was going to do something, but now I got robbed. Like, I got to go scrape some stuff out of the ceiling of the church for some reason. And so anyway, I call him, I call Chad Luthy. They start praying over me. And somehow, I don't know if they guided me into this or what, but like, I got to the place where I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And it's not like I hadn't asked that before, because like at Taylor, like there were plenty of guys that were just like, oh my gosh, like I would admit to them that, and I would actually frustrate them by arguing with them about the existence of Jesus and how there's these contradictions and that contradiction. And we're kids, so it's not, I even have arguments for my own points back then, now that I could shut myself down. But I asked the Lord into my heart, and if it wasn't, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was, because I was crying and I was so sad, and I was just like, please come into my heart if that's real. And I just felt like this, like, anger and this,
I'd love the challenge.
Yeah, and it's like, you get in there if you're there. If you're really there, come on in. And something happened. I don't know what to say about it, And, like, a lot of people would make fun of me, if I told this story, and it's weird to be saying it on here, but I felt a calm peace roll over me, and for some reason, I decided to fast, after that. Like, I'm just like, I need to do something big. Like, I need to do something big, and I'm like, I don't even know what just happened. I still wasn't fully aware of what had happened. Like, I was kind of like, I think that was something. But I didn't know if it was just, I felt calm because I was getting so emotional, and then all of a sudden, it just like I had finally gotten all the emotion out. But now when I look at it, I'm just like, no, there was a calming presence that brought me back to reality that was like, just settle down, man. You got a lot of work to do, but it's going to be okay. And it's comparable to addiction, because like I didn't even really realize at that point that addiction was such a part of it. And I went and I just was like, I had already decided, hey, I'm back in trouble. I'm back. I need to go clean. I cut everything cold turkey. I'm emotional. And what's my idea to do? I don't know. For whatever reason, God led me in whatever way through however I was praying and writing and thinking to do 2 weeks, water only. And I just wanted it to go all the way to my daughter's dance recital, which I videotape for the community still, even though all my daughters, and now one of my daughters is transgender, so I would say biologically born daughter and now trans man, type of thing. And I, respect that, and I call that person V. And that's the new name. But at the time, they all did this dance stuff. And I just for some reason thought, if I can get to midnight on that Saturday, And the time was, and I don't know where that came from, and lots of miracles happened, and I don't even know how to get into those, but I'm just saying, I did it. And it was tough for a while, but I had never been so in the spirit. And this was around the time, if you want to hear this.
Absolutely. Like,
this is my very first miracle story, or my first, what I believe is a sign, my first observed and admitted sign from God. And it's kind of big. It's not the biggest, but I was, during my fast, I was tasked, and I was taking a lot of time to just be away from work and do things, take as much time as I could away from the office and surround myself with as many Christians as I could. And I immediately started going to Brianna's Hope, by the way. And I knew that already because I knew where to go because of my coverage of it for a story. I had done this story and it was what I had done past prior to my battle with addiction. I'm videotaping Lee while he's technically still battling addiction. I'm talking to Monica in the beginning of her best days. I'll say that.
Let me interrupt you here.
Okay,
a
you
second.
Get in here because I can ramble all day. You know, I mean, you might need a four-parter. I don't know.
All right. Hey, if you're interested in seeing that video that he's speaking of, it's at ablbh.org. You just go to the homepage and you scan down about four different sections. You'll see it there. You'll see Brianna's grandma with her head kind of bowed. And you click on that. It's about a 10-minute video that explains our story. It'll clarify a lot of things that Eric is sharing with us. So take the time to check that out. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Eric, I'm glad you took the time because it means a lot to me that you guys are still using that video. And it was, I didn't realize how important of a video it was in my life when I made it. Now, I was proud of it, and it did well, and it was national, and that's cool, and I love that, but I didn't think of it as something that would change my life. I didn't think of it as that. And so I knew where to go, though. You know, I was like, this is addiction. Like, I don't know why. You know, like, it was soon after becoming a Christian. You're a pastor. I started thinking about it. I was like, I need to start, you know, showing, because I was trying to get my family back. And I'll just say this. I knew where to go because of that, and I went there. And boy, was it wild to be a part of it as opposed to just some kind of observer from the outside. You know, like, I'm just, like, opening up, and there's drama between the people sometimes. And it's like a family, too, you know, and it was nice to always have food. You know, I didn't have to worry about getting any food that night, and it just became a family, and it became so important to me that I started sometimes going to other Brianna's Hopes. You know, like, I'm like, Wednesday's not enough. I need a Tuesday one. I'm going to Montpelier tonight, and I'm just going to go to the one over here and check it out. And, you know, and I'd always, you know, it was weirder to be there without Randy kind of, but, like, I got to the point where I was like, you know, I feel comfortable just telling my story and struggling. And by golly, if I didn't get my family back and, you know, do everything and then lose it again anyway, you know, like, it just wasn't working out anyway. I still had enough of a problem to still quite not, you know, make it. And in my opinion, it wasn't what I wanted. And I feel like, you know, my ex and I just needed to, you know, give each other more forgiveness and more chances, because it is, you know, some of the things that happened were hard on my end to forgive. And I just am saying, like, I wanted to struggle with her, and it just wasn't, you know, it's okay. I forgive all of that. And I'm doing okay with that. You know, there's sadness there and all that. But in the end, Brianna's Hope got me on the right path, truly. You know, that fast, you know, like, if I need to save that for, because I have other, you know, things. But in general, what happened was Vice President Pence was going to speak at Taylor. And I'm on my fast, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, NPR is wanting to cover it. PBS is wanting to cover it. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty in good with the people at Taylor, because they still asked me to come over and present, because I'm actually doing the things that they're, you know, hoping the kids get to do. Like, I'm, you know, some guys have gone on to even assist with, you know, some of the effects in Star Wars, or The Hobbit was another one. And I'm like, you know, I was like, the guy that I was with was, like, working in Hollywood for Industrial Light and Magic, and then they got the local PBS producer, Eric Thor Hartvig, right? Wow. You know, I kind of felt like a, you know, definitely under, you know, under the level of what that other guy was. And so, anyway, I'd had this great relationship with my alma mater, and I let them become the video pool feed for the national coverage of this, you know, graduation speech of Pence doing the thing. So I'm going to try and get right to this. I covered that campus all day long. And they're wanting, you know, people protesting the fact that Pence is there. And, you know, there's a small group of people doing that at the front of the college. I see the motorcade pull in. I get a pass. Like, they, when I'm signing up and I see Jim Geringer, and he's like, hey, man, here's a pass so that you can get in there and do the thing. And I'm like, I'm actually not worried about Pence. Like, I've talked to him even. He's been on my show when he was the governor and all this stuff. Like, I get it. His daughter was actually my intern, believe it or not, Charlotte Pence. And I get to the point where I'm just like, he's like, well, just take it in case you need it. And if you don't, that's cool. I'm like, all right. So I stick this thing in my pocket, knowing I'm not going to need it. And I'm supposed to get the flavor, you know, like, we already got a crew in there that's locked in the hot room. I enjoy walking out in the peaceful air right now. I haven't eaten in 5 days. I have an energy that I can't explain. And I just get to the point where finally the speech starts, you know, and the Secret Service is out there. And I just go up to this, you know, right before the I'm by the football field, and I see this prayer, and you would have to remind me, Pastor, there's something about soaring like an eagle. You know, like there's a verse that's like—
From Isaiah.
Yes. So I see that, and I'm just like, God, I lift my hands up like I see people in church sometimes do, and I just hold my hands up in the sky, and I'm like, God, if there's anything I can do for you, I want to do something right now.
Oh,
right in this moment.
Hold it. We're going to stop there. We're going to run into a second episode, but we're going to come back to the hands in the air, your challenge to God, your openness, your vulnerability before Him to say, hey, I'm here for you. Show me what you want. Done. Wow, what powerful stuff. Eric, we appreciate what you've shared so far. There's no way we can stop at this point. So, folks, we're just going to roll into a second episode of this. We'll make this a double. We're going strong. I love it. Hang on here with us. We just want you to know, for your life, stay in the battle. Hold on. Give it your best. The win is 3 days away, as it was for Christ. It may not show that on the calendar, but your resurrection will happen. Amen.
God bless.
All right, here we are. We're back with you. Thanks for sticking around with us. Eric had just gotten done explaining that he was near the football field there.
Yes,
and he
sir.
Had his hands in the air, and he did a very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
He challenged God.
I guess I did.
Not in negativity.
No.
But just if you are who you say you are, right now's the time you can show me. And Eric said something, I believe. It was like, God, whatever you want, I want to do something for you right now. Yeah. Is that pretty accurate?
That's so accurate, because it wasn't until this moment that I realized that I kind of challenged God. And he showed up in such a big way that I don't even know what to say. But yeah, you know, if you were listening to the first part, you know, like, you know, we got to the point where I'm like, you know, covering this thing for everybody else, you know, and they all have their opinions of what they want. And one of the big things they wanted is conflict and people disagreeing with each other. And, you know, I happen to, you know, be in that world where politics is kind of a big thing. And we had the Vice President of the United States of America doing the commencement speech for graduation at Taylor University. I had a ticket to go in inside, and I wanted to just be like walking in God's place and in God's world. And I didn't care. I still to this day don't really care about the politics. You know, like if anything, I feel like everybody needs to just start compromising, and it's just, you know, division's not going to get us anywhere, and I accept
can't we
that
all just
yeah.
get along?
Right, and there's that, you know, but, like, we're not going to, you know, we have to have conflict, but, like, let's not be divisive about it.
Amen
okay?
to that. I you know? Agree. Keep your opinion, but right. don't try to yeah. beat me with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I can tell you already, there's people listening that it's like, you know, obviously this guy doesn't think like I do, you know, so.
We're
but anyway,
all right with that.
To bring us back, and thank you for allowing me to have a second part, because, like, when you're talking, you know, when I saw, you know, the time left, I'm like, okay, I can get this in real quick. And I think I still am surprised how fast this moves, even after doing it for so many years. But what happened? I'm in prayer, you know, and I actually went into prayer afterwards too, to almost like try to be more calm about it. Cause I'm just like, I don't know why I lifted my hands up and looked at the air like that. And you know, what's funny is like right behind me are the Secret Service agents. You know, and one of them was a female Secret Service agent, which I thought was kind of cool. You know, it's like, that's kind of cool, you know, like somewhat attractive even, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, you know, and I'm still like separated from my wife, but I'm definitely thinking like, I'm probably going to have to like find someone else. Right. Cause I still hadn't quite figured out that I'm enough without someone, you know? So anyway, I'm lifting my hands up, probably looking like a lunatic. You know, because they're already looking for lunatics. You know, like, they're looking for lunatics. And I'm over here acting like one, sort of. You know, and I still have a picture of this. This is what's hilarious. But I've got the Secret Service for the Vice President of the United States behind me. I'm holding my arms up to the sky, just looking there. And I probably did that for like a solid minute, just feeling the wind, feeling my face, imagining that I'm an eagle, like the verse describes. And I'm just like, oh, man, let me do something for you now. Like, I guess it was a challenge, but it was like a request more so. It was like, I want to do this. I was letting him know I want to do this. And I would love it if you could provide something that was just, I don't know, something that just I know it was for you. And obviously that moment ended. And I look at the verse again. I look at the field I used to play on. I turn around and I look at the Secret Service people, and they're like literally staring at me. And I feel like they're probably like, we've got a lunatic outside. He's doing some kind of God thing, but we are here with the president, so he likes that stuff too. Or vice president, you know, Mike Pence would have been like, well, yeah, you know, I've talked to that guy. He would not have ever done that before. I'm proud of him. But, you know, and he's got his issues, I'm sure, with other things that everyone, you know, wants to fight about. But it's still, he's a human being, and I know him enough to be like, you know, that's kind of cool that I know him. I can't call him on his cell phone or anything, but, you know. So, essentially, I go over to this picnic bench that's close to where the entrance is. They had this turnstile setup of all the students and all the people that had one of those tickets, you know, like that are going in to go watch their brother, their sister, their this, their that. And there's a cutoff time. And, you know, like I see this girl, African-American girl, like, you know, like clicking, 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 clicking. You can hear her shoes, you know, like she had the high heels on. And we're talking Vice President Mike Pence is in Upland, Indiana. So imagine what the parking was like at Taylor University. So every possible parking spot is probably full. And this girl has hauled her booty all the way from wherever she parked, clicking her high heels. And they've got about, I don't know, like 5 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes before they shut those doors. They lock those doors. And they keep everyone from being able to be inside. And she hustles her way all through the turnstiles and stuff. And at the door, they're accepting the tickets. And I'm assuming she made it in because I was kind of, you know, like, oh, man, there's our last straggler. I think they even said, we got one last person. You know, like they're wiring up.
Holding the plane.
Yeah, so there's a Secret Service agent at the door, probably, you know, and someone from Taylor taking the tickets. And she comes up and... you know, whatever happened, like, she comes back, like, literally, like, a minute or so later. And she didn't have her ticket. She left it in the car, and they wouldn't let her in. And I was sitting right there. I could have been anywhere. I even thought that. Like, I even tried to go somewhere else to get a, like, shot of Mike Pence leaving. And a Secret Service agent's like, sir, excuse me. You can't be back here. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I definitely don't want to mess with you guys. Like, you know, I'll go sit over here. So that was somewhere, maybe even before the prayer, I got sent to this place. So I'm sitting there thinking still, like, you know, like, she's literally bawling and, like, she's crying. I heard the explanation because the Secret Service female was actually, you know, concerned enough to ask, is everything okay? And she's like, ticket, and I can't see my Christian. I drove from Chicago. I can't see my sister graduate, and I had that stupid ticket in my pocket that I didn't even need. And I was like, hey guys, do you guys even care if I give her this ticket so she can get in? And they're like, no, that's fine. I don't even know why they didn't just let her in. And so I gave her the ticket, and she's like, thank you, sir. And she ran in, and she got in, and she got to see her graduation. And I'm like, all those things that came together in that moment, I was just like, even the timing of being like, I want to do something for you that helps people. I think I even said that helps someone. And I'm sorry I'm getting emotional because it's still like...
Don't be.
It's still like something that means so much to me because it was the first time that I had my own sign.
You turned a corner.
Yeah.
The right.
Yeah. And what's so funny is like, I've been called Eric Maitland, you know, and he probably doesn't even remember this because his memory's total trash, you know, and he doesn't even, he's so aloof. Like I could complain about him actually openly probably, but You know, like, I love the guy. I love him, love him. But I called him because it was just so amazing. And as I was talking to him about it, like, I'm still, like, kind of further away now explaining this, like, in shock and all. Because in this time, like, he was my spiritual advisor. Like, you know, I don't even know if I'd quite gotten fully into Brianna's Hope yet. Like, you know, I might have made that decision a little bit later because it was just still so early. Like, this is still in my fasting period. And, I was sitting there talking to Maitland, and sure enough, if I don't have a picture somewhere, and I know it's still in my phone, and I'll find it, actually, of this Secret Service agent, and she must have seen kind of what happened, you know, like, because something caused her to walk over to the same sign that I was reading, and she just, I remember she had her bulletproof vest on, I can see her sidearm, and she's, like, holding onto her vest like this, and she goes up and reads that sign, and I've just got her reading it. And I don't know what happened from there for her even, you know? So who knows how many things, like, God touched in that moment. And it's hard to...
That's how he works. And you'll find that out more and more when we're obedient.
Yeah.
He blesses it. And when the true blessing is, it doesn't land on us. We get to see it land so many times.
Yeah.
Or we're the man in the middle.
Yeah.
That he just uses us, puts us in the right place, speaks out checkmate,
agreed,
and gives it over to that individual who needs it more than us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a dollar, a dime, a ticket, a ride, a meal, clothing, whatever it may be, that when we open ourselves up to a blessing, I think blessings only come to us, Eric, for one reason, and that's so we share them with others. My greatest memories are similar moments to what you're saying. Not a gift that God's given me, but a gift God's given me to give to someone else.
Yes, sir.
And to see the joy in them to be able to receive it is just incredible. Eric, tell us, where are you in your walk with Christ now?
Oh, well, it's funny that you asked that question next, because maybe I'm supposed to talk about all the miracles that I witnessed, but I couldn't talk about them all because, like, I did, you know, like, I was so on this spiritual high during that time that it felt like I didn't need anything else but God. And, like, and it's funny how, like, you know, you do come back to reality, you do become human again. And I struggled, you know, like, I struggled with all kinds of things that happened. And it depends on where you want to take this, because it's funny that it naturally segues into one of, you know, like, I would call what I just described my first sign from God that I ever experienced. And I know a lot of people would think I'm crazy. A lot of my friends, that if they see this, they're going to just be like, you really think like that? Like, you think Jesus came back from the dead? And I was like, yeah, I do. You know, I actually researched it, and it wound up becoming more like a, I feel like there's literally enough literal evidence that causes me to think it most likely happened.
You
and
know,
I just take faith the rest of the way.
When he is seen by over 500 mm-hmm. people within the next month or so, and there's no one who recants their story, there's not one of the disciples who recanted their story, and it cost them their lives in horrific ways.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know Lee Strobel, like, one of the, you know, what you're saying, it's like, I love that martyrs make terrible liars. You know, like,
absolutely.
It's kind of like a crazy thing there.
If the name Lee Strobel doesn't mean anything to you, mega church pastor in history, a wise guy, not a smart aleck, but very filled with God's wisdom.
All right.
And
that's, so you asked me about my walk in faith right now, right?
Yeah.
You want me to talk God some more, huh?
You bet.
Okay. I mean, he's in everything, right? So how would you feel if I told you that I turned my back on Jesus and God yet again and yet again, yet again? I keep doing it. And it's not, this time it wasn't like a direct, like, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not getting into this, you know, like, it's not like I replaced God with anything like I sometimes can. But what I did do is just get lackadaisical, if you will, using some
apathetic
coach terms. Yeah, like using some of that football talk. You know, I'm over here, like, I still am a Christian, you know, and, like, I occasionally go to church. And My daughter watched me get baptized. You know, my whole family watched me get baptized in the lake across from my house. And it was at Taylor University, and it was done by the new pastor, actually, that took over for Rob, Evan Goose. And I just think he was a great guy, too.
Hey, let me throw something in there. As you mentioned that pond, I know there are a couple over that way. But during the time between Brianna's disappearance and when they found her body, there was a...
A search, right?
A very large search over on the grounds of Taylor University. And
yes,
again,
sir.
I'm not going to say it was the same pond, but we're in the same field, however you want to look at it.
That's
so
interesting.
It ties back in there. I remember the time that was spent there, the articles in the newspaper.
I do remember that.
That on
the wild goose chase.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just reaching for every straw they could grab.
And I plan to address that.
That's
in
awesome.
The truth behind hope.
That'll
and
be a big
It's actually something. Some of the things I didn't get that I wanted to address the first time, but I didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
And now I can make this episodic. But anyway, moving forward, like, you know, that moment where my family watched me get baptized, like, I've got three people there that are my children. And somehow it seemed to, like, directly affect all of them. Like, you know, we were talking about God a lot. But what has gone on to happen now in years since this happened, I'm saying 6 years since this happened, my daughter, Val, you know, just got in with some friends who have been going to a church called The River in Marion, which I know that the guest, you know, like behind me said that he attended The River. And I'm like, wait a second, what? I attend The River, but they've got, you know, if Marion can have a mega church, this is it, you know? So it's like, you know, they're always like talking about stuff. And the guy, you know, like the pastor has four fingers and he's always pointing it out because he doesn't have a full hand or something.
Couldn't have told you that.
Yeah, he's super cool. Like, I've tried to talk to him afterwards, and I think he just is, you know, too coming down from his, you know, like, extroverted thing of being the preacher. And he's always like, oh, you know, that's how fun it is every time. And I'm like, yes, I know. I've been here quite a bit. My daughter got baptized. I'm like, but I don't make myself known. But anyway, you know, like, that was just kind of the first step. I was so proud of her. It brought the entire family to church who, you know, some of the members are not fans of God, and they're not fans of Jesus, and they're not fans of the church. And I can agree with them. Like, I'm not. You know, like, when I see some of the things at that place, I'm like, this is pretty fancy and stuff, but, like, you know, I'm more of a guy that's like, let's go to India and, like, tear it up about God. You know, like, I want to do some real battle here. I like to go sit with my, you know, family and hear the word of God and, you know, be inspired even sometimes. But when it comes down to it, I'm not doing enough with that. Like, that's just not enough action for a Viking. You know, I need to get out there with a battle axe and start cutting demons in half. No. But anyway, so, you know, I get to this point where, you know, we had always gone to the Pierce Church Ash Wednesday service, you know, all of the kids. And Val is the only one who really stuck it out. Like, I have hope. I know I'm not on a schedule here. I'm actually happy that one of them's already there. That's like, you know, and I'm assuming that there'll be some issues down the road that maybe doubts creep into her life, and I'll be there for her, and we'll see what happens. But in the moment, you know, she's very faithful, more so than me, and caused me to get to that Ash Wednesday service just this past Ash Wednesday.
Awesome.
So you are literally talking about the next influencing, you know, sign and miracle in my life that you just asked about. And I call it the story of the miracle Subway sandwich. And
about this, you
right?
Gotta share it.
Right? And I'm just like,
hold it. Let me preface
you do whatever you need to do
with one thing. This is not a paid for ad, folks.
Oh, shoot.
This
yes.
was a life moment.
Right, yes. In fact, if anything, this was a mistake that does not define who Subway is. I'll just throw that out there.
Go ahead.
But anyway, so, you know, my kids, you know, I pick them up. I get a midweek visit and time with them, and it's usually on Wednesdays. And, you know, I get them, and I'm always spoiling them because I don't get to see them as much. You know, I'm happy with the amount of time that I do get to see them and the quality of time. So anyway, long story, you know, because I want to get you to back to where you get to talk and can, you know, get me guided into a good path here. But this is amazing that I get to tell this story, and I hope to write it out. I've got pictures and everything. But I I order Subway. That's all it is. You know, they want Subway. Okay. And it was decided upon on my trip where I'm taking him back to where my, you know, family lives. You know, the half of my family, like other half, where our, you know, my ex-wife lives. And it's not that far away. You know, it's like maybe a 15 minutes type trip. And they want Subway. And so, like, we're running behind. And I'm like, okay. So I do one of these online orders. And the girl, and I've actually talked to her since then. It's funny, I got to do it just before this podcast. She's from India, which, of course, I've been to India. So, like, I'm asking her questions about, like, where she's from. Are you Hindu? Are you Sikh? You know, and she's like, I'm Hindu. And I'm like, oh, you know, my favorite god is Aruman, the monkey man, you know. And I also think, I think they're cool, almost like comic book characters, you know. Like, it's just like one of those things where I don't know what they are. I don't know if their presence has any demonic things and all that stuff. Like, I try to respect their religion and I try to respect them and just hope that Jesus reaches them. And you know what? I'm not going to fight them about it. I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. Like, what good is it? So, anyway, that's all beside the point. She's foreign enough to look at an order for a turkey sandwich with just black olives, nothing else. My youngest wants only that with a strip of mayonnaise. What she created was a sandwich that had pepperoni only with black olives and a strip of mayonnaise. So she's in a place of, I thought that was turkey, but it was actually pepperoni, right? I don't know what that. We get all the sandwiches. We get them taken to home. They go in with their subs. I get a call, Dad, my sandwich is a turkey sandwich. And I'm like, okay, I'll get it fixed because I'm a fixer. It's one of my faults, you know. And I'm just like, I'll spoil this kid into loving me, by God. You know, and I'm just like, all right. So I go, and this is during a time, I should back up a little bit. We're in the Lent period, right? And my daughter, Val, asked me, she's like, Dad, what are you giving up for Lent? And I was like, well, I'm not giving up anything. You know, I guess, and I told her, I was like, you know, I don't really, like, give up something for Lent because, like, I know that that purpose is kind of like you give up something to make room for God. So it's like you are giving this up so that you can make room for God. And I was like, so you don't really have to give up anything. You can just make room for God and he'll love that. And she's like, yeah, I see what you mean, but I'm giving up chips and I'm also giving up candy and pop. I was like, okay, well, you know what? That's you do you, baby. You know, that's great. So, like, that had happened just when we were at Ash Wednesday, and I forgot to tell you that. So, anyway, so I'm in my fasting period, right? So I get this, you know, and I didn't even say this. This is – so I decide afterwards – I'm telling this story terribly. I'm doing a bad job, so I'm trying to fix this. I get back to where I'm like, okay, I dropped Val off after Ash Wednesday, and I pray to God. I was like, you know what? She made me realize I haven't been making time for you. And you know what? I am going to give up something. I'm going to fast again. And I make this plan because I start thinking about the other time I got a sign. I start thinking about fasting and where that puts me spiritually. And I was just like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to commit to fasting from Wednesday to Saturday at midnight. And I was like, on Sunday, I'm going to just release it. And on midnight, I'm going to have like a tangerine and a cracker or something to go to bed. Well, I didn't make it. I'll tell you that. Because we get to this point where I've got this, you know, extra sandwich. I went and fixed the problem, and I can't eat it. I'm like, why, God, why? Why? Like, I don't, I'm like, live by myself. I can avoid eating food because there's hardly anything in the fridge usually anyway. But now I got this sandwich that was, like, placed with me, and I'm like, it's not for me. I'm not supposed to have this sandwich. You know, and I'm telling God this as if, like, why? Do I have the sandwich? And then I'm like, of course I have the sandwich for a reason. So I start carrying the sandwich around with me. I have to go to work the next day. I remember to bring it with me. I cart it into work. And I ask anyone, does anyone for some reason want a pepperoni and black olives only Subway sandwich from yesterday? And they're like, gross, dude, no. And like I put it in the fridge and I'm thinking, well, maybe I can hand it off to a homeless person, right? I didn't see anyone. I didn't get anyone. You know, and I literally cart this sandwich around all the time, carrying it all the way into, like, you know, I think it was Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. I decided to go into a meditation with a friend who is not a believer. And they were just like, you know, this is how I get my chakras in place, and this is the thing I do to meditate. And I was like, I got my own process. And really, I was just trying to reveal that, like, yes, I will share this time with you, but I'm going to just be praying. You know, I'm going to be meditating. Like, obviously, that's fine. But I'm not going to – I don't need – the chakra thing or whatever, you know, and I'm fine with it. I like it. It's cool. I just don't need it. And so I start praying to all the things. And like, if it's one of those times, if God were to speak to you in like a way of like putting things in your brain and visions and things, and like, it's kind of like almost like a fast daydream of things. And I just got this like feeling of like, it basically made me feel like God was saying, hey, brother, you don't got to do that. Like, I was starving. I was so hungry this time. Like, the last time I did 2 weeks water only, and I managed to just be like awesome by day four. I was starving, and I just didn't want to be fasting. Like, I was doing it like just because, you know, I wasn't. And he's like, bro, you don't have to do this. I just want to spend more time with you. And I'm like, I started crying, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. And I was like, gosh, that's amazing. And I'm with a friend, obviously, and we're getting ready to go out, and I'm already starting to think, like, man, this is going to be tough, like, to do all these fun things and not eat. And I woke up out, you know, like, I got out of the meditation thing, the time was up, and I'd been crying, and I was like, I am so pumped, because, like, I literally feel like I'm breaking the fast. I'm breaking the fast. And I was like, I don't even know what to eat, though. And I was like, it all just dawned on me. The sandwich! I'd still been carting it. I'd carted it, and it was out in the car, and I ran out to that car, and it was the best terrible Subway sandwich. It was the worst stale piece of crap sandwich, and I started calling it the miracle sandwich, and I still have crumbs from when I was biting the stale piece of bread. Like, it would just crunkle and crack like I was eating toast. And I saved all those crumbs, and I've got, you know, like, if you're a Catholic, you understand this, but those are holy crumbs to me. So I'm going to sprinkle them about maybe someday, but I don't know. That's the story of the miracle sandwich. The sandwich was, it was for me after all. My first prayer is like, God, why did you give me this sandwich? It's not even for me. I can't eat it. And by God, if it wasn't for me, it just, amen. I had to realize it.
It always takes us a while.
Right?
Eric.
Isn't that funny?
We don't always get it the first time. Ask Peter there in the scriptures.
I love that you led into that, because like, I was like, here's some things I could talk about, and it just like popped right into like one miracle story after another, right? Or a sign at least. I don't know if you call it a miracle.
Well,
it had miracle.
It was a miracle for you at that time, okay, and that's all that matters.
And it's so cool to have your own, you know, your own child be an inspiration to you. I'm like, I've never experienced
that's
that.
That's a miracle in itself. The supernatural of God coming through the normal.
Yeah.
And everything that goes with it. Eric, let's talk to the folks who are listening.
Good.
How should they deal with their struggle? Give them a little bit of a blueprint. I realize you don't know if it's alcohol, if it's abandonment issues, if it's childhood trauma, if it's hard drugs, or what it is. But there's a general umbrella toward recovery and healing. It's got a lot of rain dripping off of it for sure. But how would you guide, what is the advice you'd give to someone to guide them toward recovery?
I guess this may, you know, it's an interesting question, because I don't know if I'm qualified in what society says I'm qualified in.
You're qualified through your own experience and others you have heard.
Yeah, I mean, this is my best advice then. If you can somehow... And this takes God out of everything. This takes, you know, like, because we're talking, you know, like, some of the people literally, like, I swear, this is probably my most public expression of any of my God stories or things. Like, obviously, I'm happy to talk in church and all my Christian buddies and Taylor people. But there's a whole other side of my world where I'm deeply involved with almost, like, militant non-believers, where they're just so against it that they think I'm a racist because I've become a Christian. So... my best advice is to realize, and I guess it's because this is what I realized maybe in hindsight, that you're not the center of the universe. Even if you don't believe in God and you don't believe that the universe was created, if you believe it was just, you know, just here all the time or something like that, or if, you know, the Big Bang is a science explanation for you, it still doesn't put you at the center of it, and it still doesn't make you the most important thing. Even though we all tend to do that, if you can realize what can happen when you put others first before you, and we all struggle with it. We really do. I can see myself putting myself first, even daily, you know, and I have to remind myself. And the good news for me is that, you know, I'm forgiven for that, you know, like, and the more I realize it, the better I am at pushing it down. But that doesn't mean I don't screw up. And so you need to realize that those things happen too. You know, like, we're all, like, a lot of people are mad at Christians because they're hypocrites. And I'm like, yeah, aren't we all? Like, all of us are, all the Christians are hypocrites. Like, aren't you a hypocrite though too? Like, don't you say things that you, you know, mess up on? Like, I think
don't
we're all,
live out at all times.
Yeah, and honestly, they're right in a lot of ways. Like, some of the worst people in the world profess that they're Christians, you know, and it's just, if you can manage to put others before you, it gives you a purpose that, you know, is helping others, and it allows you to realize that you're out of control. Because I think the real problem, maybe, and I call it putting yourself at the center of the universe, but it's really a it's an issue of control. You're trying to control your life. You're trying to control things. You're doing this because you want this. You're doing that because you want that. But you're trying to work this because you want to work that.
There's a certain amount of idolatry involved with all of that.
Yeah.
Thinking,
you're right.
I am number one.
Yep.
I will do it my way. I can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, many times. No, many times more.
Yeah.
It's not in our DNA to be in control of our lives.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I love the support because it makes me feel like I'm at least on a feasible path of good advice. But if you let go of control and you realize, like, I don't actually have control, and that doesn't change the fact that there are things you want, and you'll never, you know, stop trying to manipulate the odds in your favor, you know, like, you know, like, I'm hoping that someone hears this and, like, is like, you know what, that truth behind hope idea, like, that's going to be awesome. I hope HBO's like, you know what, this is great. I'm going to put it on Max, you know, or maybe I'm worried that my workplace is going to hear this and be like, we're firing you. You know, don't even show your face here again. You know, I don't know. But the point is I don't care anymore. I don't care because some of the things that have happened there and happened with my family and happened with my, you know, my supervisors and things. And it's just like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm letting go. And this is an example of just me being on here and me doing this, of me even letting go of more control and just being like, why don't you take the wheel, God? Because I can see you pulling me into this battle. And I've always wanted to do, you know, I've always wanted to kind of fight. I mean, like, I was a heavyweight championship wrestler. Like, there's a picture of me they recently threw on the front page of the newspaper again, like, as a retrospective. And people are just like, whoa, look at this Thor. And I was like, oh, my gosh, at least they did it waist up. Because when the original was, it was like my full fat self in a singlet. And I'm like, eee.
But anyway, not a pretty picture.
No, I mean, it was pretty good. I have to credit the photographer for that. And, you know, some of the folks at the commercial review there. And, yeah, but I loved seeing that come back. I mean, there's some ego in that even, you know. And I'm just like, you know, I'm letting go of control because you have to. You have to realize that, you know, you're not in control whether you believe someone else is. You know, that's up to you. And I think Jesus is going to do the work there. But I think the first step to recovery is realizing that, like, even your use, you know, even your use of the drug or the alcohol, it's not really the problem. You know, I get it. I get it now. You know, like, I was addicted to myself. I was addicted to myself and having a good time. It was a hedonistic lifestyle. And I was addicted to that fun. And you can have just as much fun. Trust me. You can have just as much fun not putting yourself first. And you will be amazed if you can make the decision to not be selfish, not take that drink, not do that drug, not smoke that cigarette even, which I still smoke and vape and stuff. And I'm just like, I'll deal with that later. You know, like, I've got to have some kind of, like, valve release right now because I'm seriously almost – I sometimes wonder if I need – more mental health care than I'm already receiving. But, you know, I am ready to do something because I want people to realize that the addiction, the true addiction problem, is an addiction to ourselves. And we choose these things that are hurting our family. We're hurting our friends. We're hurting our partners. We're hurting ourselves because we're so selfish that we want to escape from the pain, or we want to, you know, not have that happen, or we just want to have fun. For me, it wasn't necessarily an escape, but it was, you know, like, I didn't, because when I found myself not getting to a place where, oh, this weekend, even if I, you know, I might not have been an everyday party or drinker type, but I was definitely a binge drinker or whatever they call it. Like, I would hit the weekend and be like, woo, finally, I can cut loose with my buddies, get on the Harley. We'll go on a, we'll drink at every stop. We'll hop on the bikes. We'll go to the next stop that we won't get arrested because we're in a group of huge dudes with tattoos and everybody's scared, including the cops, you know. And it's just like, it never happened. I didn't get arrested, but I still failed and eventually got to where I needed to put myself out of the picture and try to put everyone else in it.
Amen. And I think that's God's plan for all of us. We are not in control. Call him a higher power. I don't care, as long as you get into that relationship. And you'll see the difference then in happiness and joy. I think happiness is bound to circumstances and experiences, and joy has no bounds.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's amazing.
It's a full heart.
Dude, and all. Yes.
Eric, we've got about 10 minutes
okay,
here.
Okay, good Lord.
And as we start to wrap up, I want you to go back again to the upcoming docuseries we're going to be working on. Are going to the jail this Friday to get that rolling, to get it started. I'll tell you what, this is kind of absolutely a monumental thing for a better life, Brandon's Hope, not something we'd considered. And to have you and Eric Maitland on board is more than what we dreamed of.
Wow.
And we just recently, and we'll share it with you here one of these weeks on Better Life, Brianna's Hope, our website, and then we'll get it here on the Faith in Your Recovery podcast. But there's a young man out of Indianapolis, Levi Volrath, who will be one of the barbers. He calls his ministry One Cut. He'll be in the jail with us this Friday. But he has also produced a song that I am sure we'll be using in one of those episodes if it doesn't become our theme song. I'm anxious for you to get to hear it.
I would love that.
He's going to debut that song in the jail this Friday.
No kidding. Well, guess who's getting that recorded?
That's going to be a fun time and a special moment. He has a producer friend, Matthew, I think, who's going to be along with him, who helped him put it all together. But as we look at the way God has supplied things to make this, I had not considered going back to Taylor University and making that as a part of this. I love that idea. There are so many, pardon the expression, tentacles that...
I'm almost scared to reveal a lot of my plans, so you're just going to have to, like, kind of chomp at the bit. And maybe I could tell you separately if you sign one of my non-disclosure agreements, which I'm going to come up with along with the press release or the releases that I'm getting ready to pull together. But, yeah, thank you for that, because I jotted down that note. You know, like, obviously, you know, Maitland and I's plan, you know, like, one that, you know, Eric's not going to be able to be there Friday because he's promoting his show, who, you know, Summer of Recovery Tour. Like, he's been in the recovery world.
Sure.
And he is doing that. So anyone out there listening, look up, you know, 2-8 Ministries, look up the recovery tour, the Summer of Recovery. Like, we're going into the summer, you know, a lot of good dudes are
in. Oh, he's doing wonderful
recovery
stuff.
Successes are in there, and they're doing those things. So, like, he's a cool guy, you know, like, you know, he was promoting his stuff on, you know, and he's kind of funny, you know, he's not nearly as funny as I am, but he's pretty funny. No, I'm just kidding. And we have, you know, we actually, the funny thing is, I was talking to him about, like, you know, it's funny that we started out trying to make a film even back when we were in high school, and this involved, like, our, you know, like, you know, some highlight names, you know.
You and Eric together?
Yeah,
that's neat.
I had a VHS camera, you know, like, thing that, like, my mom would, like, record our Christmas present opening and stuff. And so we actually tried to make a film together in Jay County way back, and I can show it to you, but I am literally embarrassed about it. But it is called Too Many Heroes. It involves a guy named Nathan Jeter. Klatt's in it, I think, or he at least supported. It's got, you know, Ryan Neal. It's got, you know, some real classic people. Sarah Weaver, you know, if you remember Mrs. Weaver from Home Ec and back in the day, and her daughter Sarah was in it, and Catherine Gilbert, if you know her.
Yep.
So there's
know
some,
all the names.
Yeah,
better
like they
than
were
the
all
faces.
Characters, but it was called Too Many Heroes, and it was like Maitland's version of him being a superhero named you know, he was, you know, good guy, and I was the Nordic nightmare. I still had that, like, that Viking thing going on, right? And so it was terrible. It was awful, but it was our first attempt. It was edited in camera, which is kind of amazing to look back at.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah, so we're doing this again, and I'm wanting to get in there to this jail, and I'm pumped to hear about this, and I'm pumped to have a song because, you know, I can pretty much guarantee that, you know, if it's anywhere in the vicinity of good—
I can assure you.
No, I'd love to hear it because I can guarantee you, because I'm in charge, and this is the wonderful thing about that, I have never gotten the chance. Like, I've done great things, admittedly great things, and things that I'm proud of in collaboration with people.
Four Emmys, yeah. Yes?
Well, yeah, you know, like at least, we'll say four. But anyway, and these are regional Emmys. I want to just throw that out there. Like, it is the same organization, National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. It's kind of like getting, you know, like, there, you know, there's like six segments of the nation and stuff, you know, so it's like kind of like winning in the 1/6 section of
nothing
things.
Wrong with that, but yeah, no, I'm shaming that.
Yeah,
game.
It's kind of like I'm going against Chicago. There's some big cities around here that's like they're cranking out some pretty big things, and I'd never made it to the national stage, but maybe someday. I don't know. I don't even care. You know, I'll give those stupid things away.
But as long as you're giving it the effort,
I am
your full effort. Yeah, that's I'm all completely that matters. Happy with and that.
Yep.
Where the
But
where
I appreciate
the rankings
it, you know?
Fall. We're looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Folks, hope you've enjoyed this. I certainly have.
Good.
This has been two episodes in a row, and I've never had it easier to speak to someone for an hour and a half straight, all right? As you can tell, Eric's kind of shy at times.
Well,
and
you know.
Hates to share
it's
things,
true.
But
it's
we've
true.
Been able to pull it out of him. That's
yeah.
how good
it's
I am.
It's your magic, yeah.
That's
it. Is.
It. And mm-hmm. just how good I am.
Yes, sir.
Well, listen, buddy, thank you. Love
thank you.
You. Appreciate
you
sharing
too.
With us what
yes,
you have. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again this Friday.
Me too.
At the Jay County Jail.
Super pumped.
It's awkward to say looking forward to seeing
yeah,
you
Yeah, it's the happiest
jail.
I've ever been going to jail.
Yeah, and I think we can probably get you out of there.
I
know
hope
we
so.
Can get you in.
Yes, sir.
But your behavior may determine.
I need to calm down.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Folks, thanks. Anything you want to close with, Eric?
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And if you want to be a part of this, get in touch with Randy.
Amen. Like, subscribe, get on board with us. And feel free to contact us. We can talk about an interview. We'd love to have you on our podcast. So it's been a good day. God bless. Remember, as always, stay in the battle. We love you. Thank you. Amen.